Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we look at Surah At-Takasur. Now the Surah takes its name from the first ayah, which says Al-Hakum At-Takasur. And as far as the Shanun Nuzul of this Surah is concerned, some of the Mufassirs have actually ignored even relating the Shan and Nuzul. But those who have related it, they have all sort of related the incidents. Though it varies from Mufassir to Mufassir, but basically what it is there were two tribes of the Quraysh, and each one was saying that, look, we have more people in our tribe, or saying that we have got more leaders or better leaders. More better leaders. And so they started counting themselves, and then one of them found that they were less than the other. They said, no, this is not enough. We have to go and even count the dead ones. And so they went to their graveyard and counted even the dead ones. And that's when this surah was revealed, that they boast about their sort of number, as we'll see, until they even visit the graveyard. But looking at the surah itself, and when we see the meaning, I mean, this Shan Nuzul, I think, has been sort of fabricated later on just to fit with the second ayah. It does not sort of give a very good reason for the revelation of this ayah, of this surah, which is much more, encompasses much more than sort of numbers in a tribe or boasting about the numbers in a tribe or such thing. It sort of takes the life as a whole. Everything in the life. Now the surah begins with Al-Hakum At-Takasur. Al-Ha, the word comes from Lahu, a word which is very common. In fact, in the Quran it says that this life, the life of this world is Lahu and Lait. Lahu is very, very much related with Lahu, is play. So this life is a lahu, a pastime, and a life, and a play, thing. I mean, just something that you play. It's nothing important. Al-ha is when something makes you. It's a fourth form, with those who do Arabic, in the English sort of form. It's a fourth form which makes you go towards love, which takes your attention away from something that is important and useful to something that is not very important and keeps you away from you. From that thing, Al-Hakum, it sort of takes your attention away from what is important, what you should be doing. And that is what play is, actually. I mean, something that is not sort of important, something that is all in your mind. And when the Quran says that this life is actually a play thing or a pastime, there is a deep sort of, many of the Urafas have brought a very nice sort of explanation for it. Everything in this world which we do, actually, is something that is to do with our minds, not very reality. The wealth we collect, the power we have, even the book, when I say this book belongs to me, there is no belonging in the book. The book has got no relation, direct relation with me. It is all how society is sort of made up. There are conventions in the society which says this is mine, tomorrow it can become yours. The book will remain the book, you will remain you and me, I will remain me. There is no relation with being cut. Just like other, for example, things that we possess, even though those possessions can be separated, but they have got a directly, for example, my arm, it's got a very much direct, when I say this is my arm, it's got some direct connection with me, which my book doesn't have. My book doesn't obey things like my commands, just like as my arm does. But even my arm can be severed and tested to somebody else and will obey that part. So my arm also, okay, though, in this possession is different from my book. And there is something that belongs to me only and cannot be separate, that is myself, is a different level of possession. Now we don't want to go into this at this particular instant, but we must remember that everything you do in this world, the life of this world, wealth, all other things, power, these are things which are, because of the convention, the world, the how society is sort of built, it is all in our mind that this book belongs to me, this wealth belongs to me, and even wealth itself and gold and silver, no difference as far as we look at it objectively, there is no difference between gold and iron and other metals. I mean, they are metals, all of them. Why do we sort of prize gold? Because society has given this. This is all just like a play field where you, for example, the ball goes between two poles, we start shouting. There is nothing that the team has gained by scoring a goal. I mean, there is nothing. It's all in our mind. Convention, rules of the game. Similarly, this world has these rules. They are not objectively, if you look at them, these rules do not show, do not come up. You have to know, and it is all in your mind. And this is why life of the world has been sort of equated with something, a plaything. Because everything you play, if you don't know the rules, you don't understand the game. Similarly, this life, if you don't know the rules, why people are running after gold, because gold has been given this sort of thing. It's a convention. There is no reality. God hasn't kept something in gold which he hasn't kept. Everything has got its properties and its niceties and best things. But gold, because of whatever, historical, whatever, but it's a convention after all. Silver, wealth, and power and all this. The king is no different from me. But he is a king. I mean, if somebody comes from outside, he doesn't recognize he is a king. He is a man. But because how we see it in society, all the conventions which go with it, that he becomes a king. It's all in our mind. Like a game. Nothing but a game. So, but anyway, coming back here, Al-Hakumu Takasu. Takasu, coming from Kasara. Kasir, we know, Kasir is much. Takasara is to vie with each other, to have more. To compete with each other, to be above, to have more than the other. I compete with you and you compete with me. Sort of reciprocal. Not one person only competing, the whole, everybody competing with each other. To have more than the other. So I compete so that I have more wealth than you have. You then see, oh, he has got more than me. It's nothing, not only wealth, it's everything. Even knowledge. I mean, I want to be more educated than you are. I want to have more power than you have. I want to. So Al-Hakumu Takasur. Al-Ha, to keep you away, to keep you preoccupied from what is important, what you should be. Al-Hakumu Takasur. So vying with each other have kept you preoccupied from what you should be doing. I want to get more educated than you are, or keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, why they have got this, I must have more than you. And this competition have kept you preoccupied. Hatta zurtumul makabir. Hatta, until zur comes from ziyara, comes from zara, that is, ziyara is to visit, and zurtum, you visited. Until you visited, makabir is the plural of makbara or mikbara. Makbara is a place where there are kabar. So cemetery, graveyard. Makabir, graveyards. Until you visited the graveyard. So, takasur keeps you preoccupied. Vying with each other keeps you preoccupied until you visit the graveyard. Now, this Shanun Nuzul take this visiting the graveyard literally, as if you go and visit the graveyard. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, more sort of something that fits better to the whole thing is until you die, until you visit the graveyard, and visit the graveyard yourself, you're part of it. You go there and visit the inside of the grave until you die. Until you die, you are preoccupied with vying with each other to get more. Now this is not what Allah has created you for. And this is where the sort of next ayah all sort of says, stop. It's time that you stop this takasur. It's time that you come out from this preoccupation. Kalla. And this kalla, wherever we see it, there to say stop. This is not the right way to do things. Stop, wait, think. See what you are doing. And consider what you are doing. Kalla sawfa ta'alamun. It's not like this. Don't be fooled. Don't do this. Don't get preoccupied by vying with each other to get more than what they have. Sawfa ta'alamun. Very soon. Sawfa, there are two words used to show the future in Arabic. One of them is sawfa and the other is just putting a sa in front. For example, can we say sa'ta'alamun? Some have said that one is sort of more in the future, but whatever it is, sawfa shows that soon, very soon, you will know. Ta'alamun, you will know. Don't do this, because very soon you will know that this is not the right way. And again, the next ayah also is summa kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Again, summa is again or afterwards, and again you will know, or afterwards also you will know, that you will surely know. Now Mufassirs have said that why, for example, you see, always the Mufassirs, they have set ideas about the Quran. They said that the Quran is very eloquent, it cannot repeat itself. Repetition is not eloquent. And this is not what the Quran says, or even they say. Eloquent, I mean, you can't keep on repeating something and say you are eloquent. I mean, what sort of eloquence is that? You say things briefly, short, concise, one. And that is eloquence. So why this repetition? And then always, whenever there are repetitions in the ayah, they go and find reasons for it. Some of them may be true, some are all imaginary. Now here, for example, they have said that first time when he says, سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, means you will know at one stage, and then you will again come to know at another stage. So for example, they would say, and they have said, that you will come to know when you die, actually when you visit the grave. You will come to know that this preoccupation of yours, of vying with each other, is useless and you have wasted your time. That is one, then you will know, and the other time is when you are raised again. On the day of Qiyamah you will come to know. So the first one is referring to when you are when you die, or when you are about to die, and you realize, I mean, this realization comes to you, oh, I've wasted my whole life doing what? Collecting all these things, why each other, here's more, I must get more, this, that. It was all useless. I should have done something else. As we saw in the other surah, Wal Asr, that this life is going away. And all we have is time. At that time you realize that I have lost everything. So I should have done something else than what I did. And the other time they say is when actually the Qiyamah is sort of established and you are asked for everything. Others have said, no, it's just emphasis, saying that this is so important. Realize, heed now, come to your senses. Because surely you are going to know that this is wrong, what you are doing. And again, please, begging, sort of imploring, bringing home the importance of this thing, that look, what you are doing is wrong. Or it's something that you will realize very soon is wrong. You will see it, in fact, as the other ayah goes on and says. But it doesn't say what you will know, or what you won't know, or what you should know. This is all kept open, and it's sort of purposely kept open, so that everything can, you can think of, look, think now, you will know. What you will know? Maybe I'll explain later, because these are early Meccan surahs, and this is just to bring you to your senses. And then you find out, okay, what should I know? What should I do? These are all other questions that come when you heed, when you stop once in your track, and then start thinking that what should I do if I'm not supposed to do this, to accumulate wealth and power and whatever we are vying with each other for. Kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqin. Kalla, again, no, this is not the way. Stop. Law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqin. Law is always the same condition which, for something that did not happen. But if it had happened, this would have happened. It's a conditional statement, and a conditional statement, as we know, always has to have a condition, and then what in Arabic is known as the jawab of the shart. And then what, if this would have happened, this would have happened. There are two cases. One is the condition, and then the answer of the condition. Now most of the Mufassirs have said that this is a condition whose answer has been dropped, is not given. And this is common in quite a few languages. Even we use it in English. If I were there, you would have seen. I mean, you don't tell him what you were saying and all these expressions. If I was there, things would have been different. I mean, or how or what. You don't elaborate. Understood from the context. So they just say that if you knew, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ إِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ. If you knew, إِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ is certain. Knowledge certain, which gives certainty. There can be knowledge you are doubtful. Yeah, okay, I know, but maybe it's not. And there is something that gives yaqeen, that gives certainty. So if you knew by the knowledge, it gives certain knowledge. Then, they say that the jawab has been dropped, then you wouldn't be doing what you are doing. You wouldn't be getting preoccupied by takasu if you knew what is going to happen, what Allah has got in stock for you, what is the day of Qiyamah and what the whole thing is about, this life and the next life and all this, then you wouldn't be doing this. So this thing has been dropped, it's been understood. But others have said, no, the second ayah which comes after this, the ayah that's coming up is actually the jawab. I mean, those who have said that that is not the jawab is because they cannot think how that can be the jawab. But those who say that, yeah, there's no doubt about this, and for them it is not that far-fetched, they have said, no, that is the jawab. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ إِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِيمِ. If you knew with the knowledge of certainty, then you would see the hell fire. Then you would see the hell. If you knew only that what is, and all with certainty, then actually you would be seeing hell. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِيمِ. Then you would certainly see, Jahim is one of the names of Jahannam. So you wouldn't see the hellfire. So those people who said that this is the jawab, they said that if you knew, if you had this knowledge of certainty, you would actually be seeing hellfire. And others have even gone further and say, this takasur itself is the hellfire. Why can't you see it? This vying with each other and all this, all the things, all the bad sort of influences it has, and the uncomfort that you feel, that is hellfire. There is nothing but hellfire, and that will be sort of actualized in the hereafter. This is the hellfire you should be seeing if you have the knowledge. The fighting with each other, all this, that is hell. What else is hell? Hellfire is the fire which grows from your heart and comes outward, not which comes from outside and grows inward. So that is hell. But others have said, no, that ends there, and saying, because they cannot sort of imagine that if you knew the knowledge of certainty, then how can you see hell? They have said, you can see hell with your eyes of your heart. And then the others have said, no, the other ayah, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِيمِ, is a new ayah, a new statement, and la here is la of qasam, and certainly, or I swear that you will see the fire of hell. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَ عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, and surely, certainly, then you will see it with عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ. عَيْنَ is eyes, and yakin, certainty of the seeing. There are two types of certainties mentioned here. عِلْمُ الْيَقِينِ is when you have a knowledge and you haven't seen it, but okay, everything sort of points to it and you are certain as far as your knowledge is concerned that nothing can happen but this. And the other thing is actually you see that thing. And both of, I mean, they have the level of certainty you get with each is different. Ilmul Yaqeen is lower than Ainul Yaqeen. An example given by Mufassir from the Quran itself is, you see when Musa went for 40 days to talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mika, to meet Allah, and he was told that, look, your qawm behind you, your people have gone away from you and they have started worshipping. Allah told him, he didn't get angry. But when we came and saw them doing that, he was so angry that he caught hold of his brother with his beard and started pulling until he had to say, stop, stop, don't pull me, I have nothing to do with all these things. But he wasn't angry when he was told, not that he doubted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, he didn't. He knew Allah is saying that, look, your people have gone astray. It was okay. So saying that the two sort of knowledge, that was Ilmul Yaqeen. He knew that this has happened. And when he actually saw what was happening, that was Ainul Yaqeen. And even nowadays, in journalism, I mean, everybody knows about it. Telling you something is different from showing you on the TV screen. What you see from the TV screen has a lot bigger influence on the masses than one just reporting news that a massacre has happened here or there. So, yeah, maybe a massacre, but showing the massacre is different, it's very influential. In sort of convincing the people and raising the emotions of the people. So, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِيمِ, surely, or we swear, I mean, if you take that this is a new ayah, that you will surely see the hellfire. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَ عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, and surely, and then you will see it with your own eyes. Conviction of your own eyes. Nothing will be left. No doubts will be left. You will see it exactly with your eyes because you would be going in it. And as sort of one of the ayahs in the Quran says, everybody, whether you are good or bad, is going to go into hell first. Others will pass through it, and some will stay in it. But everybody will go in it. And so everybody will know either what they are getting or what they have left behind or what they have been saved from. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَيْذٍ عَنِ النَّيْمِ. And then on that day, you will be asked. تُسْأَلُنَّ. Surely you will be asked. It's emphatic. There's a lot of emphasis. تُسْأَلُنَّ. It's not just saying that you will be asked. No. Surely, certainly you will be asked. يَوْمَيْذٍ on that day. عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Na'im is all ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some hadith it also says even a gulp of water that you drink. You will be asked about it. And in Nahj al-Balagha we see Imam Ali saying, what is this world? That in it, halaluha, fi halaliha hisab, or fi haramiha ikab, or adab. What is this world? Whatever is permissible, you are going to be asked about it. And whatever is not permissible, you will be punished about it. So, even that thing, those things which are permissible, you will be asked. And we see also in this Ihya Ulumuddin al-Ghazali brings on this thing and says, not having the world is much better. That day you will save a lot of time explaining to Allah what you did with what you didn't, what you didn't have. Because if you don't have the world, you don't have to explain. Now in other hadith we find that from Imam Sadiq al-Islam saying that this is not, he is not going to ask you about food that he has given you, or the clothes you wear, or the house you live in. But this is asking you about haq, or the truth, or religion, or whether you are on the right path or not. And Tabatabai says that this is all the same thing. When Allah asks you about something, he's not going to ask you why is this a date, or if he has given you some wealth, why is this wealth. But he's going to ask you why, how you spend it, and how you got it. That is asking you about religion. And that religion has got to do with the Prophet, what he has explained to you, and the Imams. Because some of the riwayas we have says that this Na'im that he's going to ask you is us, the Prophet and us, the Imam saying. He's going to ask you about us. And Tabarwai said there is no difference between all these hadiths. I mean, they just show the same thing. The principle is that Allah is going to ask you how you spend everything. And when he asks you about how you have spent, asking about the Prophet and his message, whether you followed it or not, and that's when the Imams and everything come in. So anything you have spent it in the right way or spent it to fulfill what Allah has sent you here, then that's good and will be rewarded. And anything you have spent it to go against, then Allah will sort of either forgive you or punish you. It's up to him and how you have behaved. But you will be asked about everything. So as we can see, the ayah or the whole surah is sort of trying to stop everybody saying, look, stop, wait, see what you are doing. Everything you are doing is just, either if it is just to compete with each other, to have more than what others have, then why sort of do that? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, He has sort of created this world so that we make use of it. But we make use of it not just because we're getting more than others. Which, I mean, generally, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, most of us are actually. Why do you want education? Get more educated than you. He's become a doctor. I want to become something better than him. He's become this. I want to be better. But why are we here? Why we want to do this? Or why we want to seldom thought of. So, yes, make use of the things in this world. Allah has made them so that we make use of them to reach the purpose that He has, or we make use of them in the way that He has specified. And then that is a ni'mah. If you misuse them, the same thing can be a nakmah, or cause of azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we'll stop here. If there are any questions, please go for it.